Alicia Witt is an actress, a classically trained pianist, a singer-songwriter, and an all-around accomplished artist. You may know her as child prodigy and opioid addict Gersten Hayward on Twin Peaks, as pragmatic mother Wendy Crow on Justified, as enterprising young attorney June Carver in 2 Weeks Notice, or as aspiring clarinetist Gertrude Lang in Mr. Holland's Opus. She has also starred in Ally McBeal, The Walking Dead, Friday Night Lights, Sybil, Law & Order, Nashville, and The Sopranos, just to name a few. Entertainment Weekly just premiered the video for Younger, the first single off her EP 15,000 Days. On her album coming out on August 24th, she brings the piano solos to life and sings from the heart about universal themes of youth, change, and love. We are so pleased to have Alicia here with us today. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I said your album comes out next month, but I've been listening on Spotify and on YouTube. You can watch the video, so it's already out there for people who want to consume it, right?
Yes. The first two singles are out. Younger is the first one, and as you mentioned, the video's out, and Still Sorry actually came out last week. Great. Which is the second single, and there is a video forthcoming.
Excellent. And so tell me about Younger. I watched the music video, and it begins so adorably with a boy passing a note to a girl in a classroom, which is a memory all of us can conjure up. And then it moves on to all different stages of life. What story were you telling in that song and in that video?
The story that I was telling when I first wrote the song was this sense that I think I knew exactly who I was at my core when I was about 7 or even a little bit older, like 16, 17. And it occurred to me that a lot of the people I know talk about having had this sense of who they were supposed to be when they were very young. And then you go through a period in your 20s and even in your 30s where you're kind of figuring out who people want you to be, who mm-hmm. you're supposed to seem like. And it takes a while sometimes to come full circle back to your original true self. I know that's true of me. I feel more authentically myself now than I did when I was in my 20s. And I loved the idea of a song called Younger because you might think that means on the surface that you're striving to be younger, but I think our age brings us full circle to the identity that we originally arrived at. And then the video takes it in a whole different direction. The concept for the video came from the director, Paula Hornick. Uh-huh. And I loved that she turned it into more of a love story. And now when I sing the song, I think of it as well as being almost a love story to the younger version of myself. Hmm.
So you actually have a memory or a sense of what you thought of yourself when you were 7 years old. You can conjure that up.
Completely.
Wow.
And that person is pretty much who I am.
Can you give us a little sense of who that is?
Absolutely. She was fearless. I remember when I was auditioning for the first movie I ended up doing, which was Dune, David mm-hmm. Lynch's Dune, yep. I had absolutely no doubt that I was going to play that part. And that's absurd because when you audition for a movie or anything, there's so many candidates. And my parents were school teachers, and there was nobody. I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts, so I didn't know anyone who was in the entertainment business. And yet I just had this sense before I ever set foot on a film set that not only was this my destiny, but that it was a certainty. I didn't have any question about it. I remember saying, I'm going to get this part. And then you kind of grow up and you start having more questions.
Yeah.
And when I started putting music out about 9 years ago, that was something I'd always imagined myself doing. I always saw myself playing shows and releasing my own songs. But it took me a while to come back around to that confidence that I had, the certainty that it was what I was supposed to be doing, and the fearlessness as to what people would think of it. It just became something I knew I had to do.
When you were 7, did you have a vision of being both an actress and a singer? I mean, was that what you imagined at the time?
Honestly, I did. I can remember playing classical music which was what I studied for the first 7 years. From 7 to 14, I competed a lot, and I would play in the dark living room of the house I grew up in, and I would make up songs, and I'd play big band songs, even things that I loved listening to on the radio that my dad had grown up listening to. And my dad would sit in the living room area on the couch, and I would play him these little gigs, and I fully envisioned being older and doing this and having it be no big deal. And then for some reason, I spent so many years saying, oh, it's something I'll do someday, but I allowed myself to get discouraged about it.
Would you give that younger version of yourself advice about not getting discouraged in those middle years if you were able to talk to that seven-year-old Alicia?
I guess I would say, I mean, the seven-year-old self had it all figured out. It's the 25-year-old me. I would go back and say, hey, remember who you were when you were seven? You don't have to be so concerned with what people think of you. You know exactly what you're doing.
to make this album, you turned to Kickstarter, and I checked it out. You seem to have raised more than $100,000.
Such an honor. That's an incredible thing.
Why did you decide to go that route?
Because I had the astonishing good fortune to have Shakir King want to produce my music. And he's Shakir King. He's worked with Kings of Leon and Norah Jones and James Bay and Shania Twain. I mean, the list goes on and on. And he's not cheap. He's not like a low budget indie producer working in his basement. So I was in tears of joy when I found out that he wanted to meet me, that he had heard my music and was willing to consider working with me and including me in that company. But then I also was in tears because I was like, I mean, I'm a working actor, but I don't have the means to fund something that ordinarily would be funded through a big label.
Right.
And then I thought about how long it had been since my last Kickstarter, which was pretty modest. It was for a live record called Live at Rockwood about 6 years ago. And I decided to put it out there, and the response blew me away. I have shivers thinking about it right now. That 640 people would put their money towards bringing this album to life and giving me the opportunity to have my songs produced in a way that they never have been before. I'll never stop being grateful for it. And at the same time, it makes for a very special product, because every time I hear these recordings and every time I speak about them, I know that it's not my album, it's our album. They brought it to life.
This community of people. Wow.
It's something else.
And you played piano on all five tracks, right? And you're a classically trained pianist.
Yes.
Why did you want to also be the one performing the music as well, in addition to the vocals?
I've always done that. The album before this was Revisionary History, which Ben Folds produced. And of course, he's very well known as a pianist. But I haven't made a record yet where I didn't play piano at all. There have been a couple of tracks that were guitar-based where there is no piano, and on those I don't play. But I had the experience this time around of recording at the Blackbird Studios in Nashville, which is where Shakir loves to work. And for the first time, I recorded live with the incredible musicians who perform on it with me. So rather than just laying down the piano track and then doing the drums later and doing the guitar later and whatever, we all rocked out together, and
That's
it
great.
Just made this magical energy. But what Shakir did on this, which is also somewhat unique for my songs that have been released so far, is he's got the loops on it. And there's a lot of production and synth and really cool vibey stuff that can't really be replicated with live instrumentation. So it was a cool combination of all of that put together.
Your music and your acting have long been intertwined. I understand that when you were in LA building your acting career, instead of waitressing or bartending for extra money, you worked at a piano bar and
yes.
you would take requests. Were you like Billy Joel? Were you like the piano woman?
I was. And I had a very similar experience while doing it to what Billy Joel described. I just listened to that track again a few days ago on vinyl at the place where I've been staying here in New York.
Oh, and, wow.
It's interesting. You feel so grateful on one hand that you get to be doing something you love and making a living at it, but at the same time, it's a day job.
Yeah.
It's a means to an end. You either want to be making your own music for a living, or in my case, I wanted to be acting. So I would go on 3 auditions a day and ride the bus all over LA and then frantically arrive in time to put on my little black cocktail dress and sit there for 5 hours. And it was a constant battle between people who came to hear the music, who mm-hmm. knew that the Beverly Wilshire always had a decent pianist in the background. But then other people would come up and say, could you please keep it down? We're trying to have a business meeting.
Oh my God.
And it was interesting. It was like halfway between performing and blending into the scenery.
Sure.
So I'm super grateful for that experience, but it made me feel even more determined to follow my dreams.
Yeah. And you have succeeded in so many of their dreams. I'm just looking at your IMDb page and the number of iconic television shows that you've had a role in. I mean, Friday Night Lights and The Walking Dead and The Sopranos. Why do you think that you've been lucky enough to land parts in some of the biggest television shows in history?
I have no idea. I was just thinking about this with a friend a few hours ago. And I do think about it sometimes, and even I am like, wow, that's been a lot of them.
Yeah.
And many of them have been shows that were favorites of mine, like The Walking Dead and Nashville and Ally McBeal,
right.
Prior to my being on them. And it's a surreal feeling to set foot on a set that you already know very well with characters that you're already familiar with, and then to have the gift of becoming friends with people whose work you admire immensely, and I hope getting to learn on the job from extraordinary artists, like getting to work with Al Pacino a few years ago.
Amazing.
On 88 Minutes. That was a bucket list item if I had just gotten to do one scene with him.
Sure.
And to have the privilege of working so closely with him for months. All of these things have changed my life and just make me more certain that I'm on the right path, whatever that path might be.
We just have about a minute left, but I would love if you could tell us about the new Amazon series you're working on called Lore.
Yes.
What is your character in that show?
Oh, she's cool. Lore is an anthology series. Each episode has its own cast.
Huh.
And each one is based loosely, at least, on something that really happened. And ours is set in 1946, and it's about Jack Parsons, the rocket scientist and sort of black magic sex occultist who believes he conjures up his dream woman in Marjorie Cameron, who is an artist and a poet. And they have a torrid, magical love affair until
wow.
he blows himself up.
Wow.
And it's
that?
All based on a true story.
We will stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Matt Katz. I've been speaking with singer and actor Alicia Witt here for her new EP, 15,000 Days. On August 28th, Alicia Witt will be performing at The Loft at City Winery. That's at 155 Varick Street on the second floor, right across the street.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.